Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
And welcome all you amazing earthlings to the premiere of Mysteries with a History. I'm already loving all the chat you guys are talking about, your ideas, things we might even be covering. I am really looking forward to this conversation because there is a lot to cover. But before we even start, before even adding any preface, I do want to say hi to Michael Mataluni. Hello there. Greg O'Brien, how is everyone doing? Hey, Ice Hawk. Yes, we will be covering that and how a lot of the times shadow people are connected with sleep paralysis. Then we got our friend Luis. Oh my goodness. And John. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy everyone showed up. I hope you guys are all pumped because we are going to have a very interesting conversation. So before we even dive into the shadow people, there is a few things that I want to mention before we start. So as some of you already know, I've been fascinated with UFO topics since a really, really young age, but also I've been fascinated with a wide variety of mysteries. Growing up, my dad literally had the Twilight Zone and the Outer Limits playing all the time and like documentaries about the strange and mysterious. So here I am today, asking the questions about all these mysteries, and what better way to do it than with you guys, right? Getting to talk to you, getting to hear your stories. Hey, creepy little book, so good to see you. So let me start by telling you what this show is about, what the show Mysteries with a History is about. And I can do it all in one word, and that is you. You. This show is about getting you involved in the conversation in the live chat by getting your insights, your opinions, your research, and your questions regarding whatever the topic we will be covering. And today it's shadow people. So if you guys have any kinds of stories or experiences, I want to hear it. I want to read it out loud so that we can all kind of like dive in and what happened to you. Sometimes I will have a co-host. Other times I might feature a panel of guests who are specialized in the topic we will be discussing, while other times it will just be you and me. Now, what will these topics be about? And for the main part, the topics will kind of all fall under the umbrella of the unexplained, the extraordinary, the unsolved, and other topics at the fringe of modern day experiences. But you can also give your own suggestions for the show topics. I love this topic. I love everything paranormal, and it can cover everything in the mystery spectrum, from cattle mutilations to aliens to shadow people to magical creatures, maybe even unicorns. You know, who knows where it's going to take us. So What I want you to know about Mysteries with a History show is it's going to be a very interactive live cast, just like how it is now. I will be getting to the comments really soon so I can read them with you, but let's do this first, right? Where it'll be a very talkative and a relaxed setting, very relaxed. So there's no set schedule yet. I'm looking at doing live streams maybe a few evenings a week, depending on how it goes, but I will obviously announce them through the community posts here on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Facebook. Each show will run for about an hour, unless we're getting like a really engaging topic and conversation that's happening in the live chat, then of course it can extend that time frame. So like I said, I want to hear your thoughts, I want to hear your opinions, your theories, your research, questions you may have about stories, and I will read them aloud so that all the viewers that watch in the future will kind of have an idea of what we're all talking about. All right, all that's out of the way, because this is the premiere, so I got to kind of like, you know, put it out there what we're going to be talking about. And sorry, let me take that off. Okay, so today's topic, shadow people. What are they? Like, Have you personally heard of shadow people before? Have you ever experienced them? We're going to be covering that. But first, let me start with a description. It says, they have been seen to be a black mass, most often in a humanoid shape, that is either directly observed or seen in the peripheral vision. In the greater majority of witness reports, no details or identifiable characteristics can be seen of a face, hair, or clothing, with the exception of a surprising amount of encounters with an entity having the shape of a hat on the head. Also, there have been many reports of them having white or red glowing eyes. Oh my gosh, what do you guys think about that? What kind of shadow can have glowing eyes? It's kind of weird, right? I think so. So they have been seen to stand still, to move, to fade into and out to of one's vision, and even seen to jump into walls or into the ground. So are they interdimensionals? Some witnesses have described them as being menacing, accompanied by a palpable sense of evil and bad intent, while others have described them as neutral observers that don't do any kind of harm. Now, that is a mystery with a history. You're having two parallel witness accounts, one saying that they're horribly evil, and the other saying that, oh no, they're just observers. We're going to go a little bit more into detail on what is going on. And I'm going to tell you a personal account because it's going to be pretty interesting. But let me go ahead and read some of these comments from my lovely friends. Oh, Brian. I need to get my game and start eating more noodles and ice cream. It's the college diet, guys. College diet, noodles and ice cream. I don't feel scared when I see them. So you've encountered them. Is that right, Greg? I mean, it just depends. The thing is, with shadow people, they're kind of like a throw word for many different kinds of entities. So for many, we're not really too sure what they really are. My sleep paralysis made me go back into UFOs. Oh, and that's a great question. What do shadow people, what do all of these kinds of phenomenon have to do with UFOs? Because there's quite a few connections with other, you know, supernatural entities that have to do with the UFO topic. And we might not be covering all of that today, but I always want to somehow add a little bridge on the UAP topic with Mysteries with the History, because there are some really interesting situations that happen amongst the two simultaneously. It is crazy. Oh my gosh, guys, so many comments. It's so hard to go through all of them. But let's talk about the next point? Like, what's the history behind these shadow people? And they have been known in the Babylonian times, in ancient Greece, and going back through to ancient Egypt, there are descriptions of shadow-like entities. And it seems that in different cultures, these things are known by many different names. And of course, that is evident, right? But their behavior doesn't really change. And they are most often referenced as lurkers or observers. Also in ancient Egypt, when a shadow person was seen, it was identified as a servant of Anubis and seen as a harbinger of death, that someone, even that person seeing the shadow person, would either die or lose someone close to them. That sounds a little bit like the Mothman in some respects. So that's pretty interesting. But this kind of story, the shadow people, are pretty popular in the Middle East. And sometimes they are also classified as jinn. Now, if you guys don't know what jinn is, it is described in the Quran that they are made out of flameless fire smoke. So we are not too sure if the shadow people are the same as jinn, but there is definitely a possible connection, and or they at least have similar characteristics. But in the United States, it wasn't really that popular, that kind of story, except for the Native Americans. They did have a pretty similar story, and they called them the Chindi, which is an avenging spirit, while other tribes rate the skinwalker as being able to turn into a shadow person along with many other forms. But it wasn't until 2001 when Heidi Hollis talked about shadow people on Coast to Coast AM. How many of you guys have seen Coast to Coast? It's a great show. What they talk about is always really interesting. Thanks, Michael. Thank you. I'm glad. This is an amazing show concept, Christina. Thank you so much. It's interesting. This is like my side hobby of what I research when it's not the UAP topic. So, even though Heidi Lewis brought this in about shadow people, she believed that they were extraterrestrials. And that's that kind of connection. There are a lot of umbrella titles on what the shadow people are. Some say that they are extraterrestrials, aka aliens, that they are interdimensionals, possibly even time travelers that are able to jump in and out or prevent us from doing something or trying to connect with us in some way or another. Some say that they are demons, jinn, and I think that's about it on what they're classified as. That's a lot of titles on this kind of entity. I once had a child on my lap drinking from a sippy cup when I had sleep paralysis in a recliner. Sleep paralysis is terrifying. And we're going to go into that pretty soon. And another classification of them being is the men in black, because they wear a black hat. They're kind of wearing all black or, you know, dark clothing. But there will be a separate show, guys, on the men in black topic and about talking about the hat man, which is also classified as a shadow person that I did see in the comments. And we're going to talk about that as well. There's so much to talk about. And like, I don't want to get ahead of myself because my brain's working so fast. But there's so much. So I was doing some research for the show, obviously, and I looked into some conventional explanations for such sightings. And of course, there were a lot of articles dealing with instances of people seeing shadow people during different stages of sleep, both in falling asleep and just beginning to wake up. So scientists say that it's just your brain doing creating these hallucinations. And in a lot of cases, when people see these shadow beings, it's at night, a lot of cases. And as we know, people that might have kids, kids are scared of the dark. And the big reason behind that is because our imagination begins to run wild. One little sliver of light and your vacuum cleaner looks like a person. So our mind cannot always be trusted, but that doesn't mean that it excludes all of the explanations people might have that witness these accounts. Case for Infinity says, in my dream, it was up against a column and I didn't even know how I saw it because it was behind me and grabbed me. Ooh, in a dream. So you didn't see him in real life. Is that right? You didn't? Because in dreams and in real life, there is some kind of distinction. But it is pretty crazy how scientists like to debunk a lot of things. Another conventional explanation is for those that have sleep deprivation, right? If you've ever encountered this, when you don't sleep for a long period of time, your brain does not work at its full capacity. And when this does happen, hallucinations can occur. But that doesn't answer the question on how so many people around the globe, not just in the US, but around the globe, are seeing a very similar being. Has a hat, wearing all black, classified as being about 6 feet tall. This is a very specific thing to mention, is that many people across the globe are saying that he is 6 feet tall. That can't be made up. Do you think that there's a scientific explanation on how so many people can see the exact or at least similar concept? Some say it's based on your culture, and at least in the U.S., seeing this black-hatted man is from the Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know. Ice Hawk says it's very specific, and I agree. And Case for Infinity says, I'm 5'7", and he was taller. So I want to tell you my story about the shadow people. So it's actually not mine personally, but I knew a friend who I was very close to when I was younger. And she grew up for years and years and years of seeing a woman. It wasn't a man, but it was a woman wearing all black, standing on the corner of her bedroom, the corner of her bedroom. And every night it would just stare at her. For a long period of time, her parents and herself included, because they're all more of an analytical mind, her father being a cardiovascular doctor, they didn't really believe it. And they said, oh, you're just imagining things. You're just afraid of the dark, all these kinds of things. But it happened every single night. And whenever she spoke about it, she had a lot of fear. A common characteristic that these shadow people have is people that encounter them at least more than once can have depression, suicidal thoughts, negative or bad intentions toward others. And she had all of these things. So her mother, who was kind of more on the eclectic spiritual side of things, she took her to I don't want to call her a witch, but kind of a woman who specializes in kinds of cleansings. And my mom also knows her personally, so this story will make a little bit more sense as I keep going. So my friend went to go visit her. She was like 14 at the time, and she couldn't even enter this witch's house. She couldn't even enter it. And what the witch noticed was some kind of being already attached to her. So right from the outside of the house, she starts playing all these Om bowls, and trying to create a certain kind of frequency to somehow eliminate this attachment or this parasite from my friend. Turns out, and my friend didn't say this, but the witch did, saying that she started screaming like incredibly loud. She was saying how much pain she was in, and then my friend passes out on the floor, guys. This is not a Reddit story. This is like a true story. Later that day, my friend had no memory of what happened. She had no memory of the singing bowls that were happening. She had no memory of her passing out, but she did have severe pains in her body, like headaches, achy bone feeling, all this kinds of crazy stuff. So that is my story of a shadow person encounter. Now, do I know if it was a shadow person? I don't. All I can say is that they were wearing all black, they showed up at night, and they did follow pretty similar characteristics on all these kinds of emotions that they bring. There are a few other stories of these shadow people that do show up, that they speak to you in your ear while you're sleeping. They might say your name, they might say some kind of other words, and it'll wake you up. You'll see them and their eyes are like glowing red. Whew, this is crazy. George says, she was better after that though, right? She was, but I will say she did not believe that any of these things happened. It was so traumatizing to her. She was so terrified that she blocked it out of her mind. And when I had spoken to her about it, she didn't want to speak of it. She said, I don't believe it. It was just my hallucinations. And now she is getting some kind of doctorate degree, I think as a lawyer or as a doctor, with a completely analytical mind, not believing in anything paranormal or supernatural, of absolutely nothing. So that just shows you guys that in some cases, these experiences can be so extreme, can be so traumatizing, that our brain begins to be in complete denial that these things just don't happen. And it closes the door for so many other experiences, but also for your imagination. Our imagination is so powerful. Our imagination is so special that when we don't ask ourselves these questions such as, are we alone? What's more than what the eye can see? Our life seems a little bit more dull. Do you guys think so? Space Cowboy says, poor girl. I know. I haven't even spoken to her in quite some time because of how our paths have changed. But it was a hard time for her. It really was. And when you're young, it scars you a little bit different than when you're older. Now, these shadow people do encounter both children and adults. It's not just one or the other, but it is both. It has no discrimination on gender, no discrimination on age, or anything in between. Chris says, congratulations, Christina. Wonderful and interesting show. Thanks. Thank you. I've been planning this for a really long time, and I just never got around to it. But just wait for the next show, guys. The background is going to be, it's going to fit the theme. As you guys may know from my Shifting the Paradigm podcast or live cast, the background is a spaceship. So I didn't have time to order in my other background for this show, but show up next time. You're going to love it. It's really, really cool. It's really cool. I am just reading the comments. So you can have the most intensely realistic lucid dreams and astral travel with sleep paralysis. Now, I have heard this to be true just because your brain and your body work differently. Isn't that kind of odd? And in a lot of cases, astral projection, so it says, can work a little bit better when you are in sleep paralysis, because when your body's asleep but your mind's awake, some things can kind of creep out of the body and you're able to travel through the astral planes. Now, is that true? I don't know. You guys have to tell me. John, thank you so much. He says, Christina, what do you think would happen to the global public reaction if governments admitted that inner dimension and spiritual beings truly exist? That's an interesting question. And I don't know if you guys happened to watch the live cast I did with Carl Vibe yesterday, but it was a somewhat similar question. And the answer, which I will paraphrase what he said, was half the population would be okay with it, but the other half wouldn't even open the door to that idea. They would shut it off and they would go back to living their 9-to-5 job, going back and being on social media all day. It really just depends on the person, on the mentality. And if the government did open up to this, right? How many people honestly actually listen to the government, want to read the 180-day report, right? That we're all looking forward to. But the average person, right? The 9-to-5 guy doesn't care. They don't follow up on it. It's not a part of their agenda. But for us, it would make a big deal. But in a lot of cases, we kind of already know. We already know, and it's written all over ancient stories, ancient cultures, ancient beliefs, that interdimensional and spiritual beings do exist. Many believe it, many have seen it, but have you guys seen it? Do you guys believe it? I want to know. Such a tough topic for everyone who has never experienced it. Absolutely, Jazz. We as human beings, we believe what we see. If we don't see it, we don't believe it. We think it's absolute hogwash, nonsense, malarkey. Sorry. All of these things. But when we see it and we try to explain it to someone who hasn't seen it, who isn't a believer, it's very, very difficult. It's very hard. Now, let's talk about the hat. Man. So the Hat Man is a more specific character of the Shadow People. I read in the comments that briefly that some of you guys have mentioned the Hat Man, and we're going to be covering that because this Hat Man seems like he's a part of the Shadow People. You have tips? What are these tips? I'm sorry if I missed your comment prior, but if you have tips, I want to read them on whatever they may be. So the Hat Man is believed to be a shadow person. And in a lot of cases, he is accompanied by two other shadow beings, but only one of them wears the hat. And he seems like he is the boss of the operation. So for those that have encountered more than one shadow person in a room at the exact same time, the two other shadow people will go ahead and harass or do some kinds of things to the person in sleep paralysis while the man with the hat just watches. There are accounts globally from East Asia to Alaska to South America, saying that these kinds of shadow people, the ones that have evil intent, the ones that are malicious, believe that when they are in the room with them, right, and these people are in sleep paralysis, that they feel their vitality or life force leaving them completely. Well, I wouldn't say completely, but they feel like they're being sucked up of their vitality. Now, as we know about demons in a lot of cases, that they feed off of fear. They cause a lot of, like, they make us feel afraid by having things fall, making weird noises, things of this nature, and they feed off of that. Well, there are cases saying that shadow people feed off of our life force. Now, for those that have encountered that, did you feel like you felt drained in any kind of way? Ben says, I have experienced them for 20 years, many different figures. I also have visual snow. I've gone back and forth as to the meaning. Kind of hallucinations or entities. Friends with. No, where's the rest of it? Oh! And when witness, so I'm going to tell you a story of encounters of the shadow people. So here's one of them, and there's quite a few. So during the 1960s, witness Jeff encountered shadow people of three separate occasions. The first time, they caught one looking through their bedroom window before disappearing, which is normal. I mean, that could easily have been just the mind playing tricks on you. But then the second time was a few months later when they woke up to find five shadow people lurking aimlessly around their bedroom. The third time and final time was late at a summer camp. They were laying in bed when a shadowy figure appeared and began walking in circles around the bed. That sounds kind of like a ritual, doesn't it? Walking around an object is, that's pretty interesting. And it says, in all three occasions, the figures were pitch black, darker than the dimly lit room. This user has experienced all they wanted from shadow people and hopes to never encounter them again. Allegedly, I am repeating what others have written about these entities, but I have no real clue on what they are. And some asked, so I read in the comments that people asked if I believe in the men in black. And I'm open-minded. We will be covering it in another show of Mysteries with the History, but I don't have any real proof that any of this is real, but it needs to be discussed, like what we are doing here, right? We want to open minds. We want to have these conversations, legitimize these topics, because if our ancestors talked about them, what makes them crazy? Why are they crazy? No, they're not. They're smart. And we should be too, and being educated in these kinds of topics. So let me look, but I do also want to mention that it's a rather good question. So I want to really point that out there. That's a really good question. Let me tell you another story of a witness account. So witness Alicia has had a few encounters with shadow people, but there is only one that truly terrified her. On a summer evening, they stayed, I'm assuming they as in her family, stayed up late watching television with their sisters. And as they got up to go to the bed, they passed by the front door and saw a Native American man standing in the frame. He stood about 6'5", wore a black suit with an old-fashioned top hat, and had long hair and sharp blue eyes. Now, it's interesting that she said blue eyes instead of red or white, which are very common amongst shadow people. And she was able to classify the shadow person's ethnicity and a little bit taller than 6 feet. So these are all pretty interesting details. Then it says, the girl screamed, making their sisters jump up and impulsively throw a salt shaker at the figure. The shadow person's face fell into what seemed like a sorrowful expression, then shimmered away through the front door. Later, then describing the experience to their father, he said the shadow person sounded like a description of his great uncle who died when he was young. So It is hard to tell. It is hard to tell if you're looking at a shadow person, if you're looking at a ghost, if you're looking at a demon, because a lot of us don't have experiences or kind of better characteristics, it is hard to tell what these beings are. But the fact that Alicia's family was able to describe the facial expressions, the color of the eyes, and the ethnicity, it kind of debunks the fact that it was a shadow person. But again, we don't know. There are a few books written by Holly Lewis and by Rosemary Ellen Gildas, I think. But they're just listening to eyewitness accounts. I don't think they've had their own experience. But again, I don't know that. I don't know. Oh my gosh. So interesting, guys. So my friend is going to think I hate them. I've been watching so many streams this week. Look, April, right now, what we're going through with the UAP topic and with lives that are happening a lot more often, you're getting educated and you're having fun in like interacting with people in the community of the topics that you like. I think they'll understand if you just say that you're getting educated. They'll be like, oh yeah, that's good. That's good. We're living in a conscious simulation. Watch a Glitch in the Matrix 2021 documentary. I've never seen it. I haven't seen the newest documentary, but I'll look at it. We are all friends. That's right, Michael. We're all friends. Guys, also make sure to check out his newest YouTube channel called The Singularity Lab, along with him always co-hosting the Unidentified Celebrity Review with Luis Jimenez. Because he is one of the best hosts I've ever encountered. So make sure to check him out. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Hat Man. I know I already said I would, and I know I did. But there's one other thing that I want to mention that I didn't earlier. And that was, there is another belief saying that the reason to why he wears a hat is because these shadow people, the ones that believe that they are interdimensionals, are unable to fully materialize in our dimension, our realm. So a reason to why they might wear like all black or trench coats and these hats is to cover up the little features that they're missing. Maybe they wear the hat is because their head isn't fully head shape, because you know our heads are not round, they're like slightly oval shaped. So that's a possibility. Again, this is all hearsay, this is all just speculation. We don't know, but it's always interesting to ask ourselves these kinds of questions, guys. It's really interesting to ask ourselves, what's going on? What's happening? How can I find the answers? Whew. He says he wears the hat because he's losing some of his shadow off the top. Possibly. We don't know. But hey, if you ever talk to one, Case for Infinity, let me know. I want to hear about it. I want you to ask him where he's from, why he's here, and why does he wear a hat? Because fedoras, let me preface that, people that see him believe that they're wearing fedoras and their look seems a little bit outdated. So that's a reason to why some people believe that they're time travelers, is because their look seems a bit outdated. And I know I'm a little bit scatterbrained, but there's so many things I want to touch and then I get ahead of myself on other things I want to talk about because it's so interesting. But the titles or the labels that they're placed under, I'll repeat them, are extraterrestrial, time travelers, demons, djinn, and interdimensionals. Interdimensionals is because that they fade in and out, maybe in and out of this dimension, we don't know. Extraterrestrials, because some say that the ones that are not menacing or have evil intent are kind of just observers, and maybe they can't fully manifest in this particular particular thing. We don't know. So I want to tell you another account. This is really interesting. So after a poor night of sleep, witness Derek laid down at midday, so not even nighttime, guys, but midday, to take a nap. And let me tell you guys how much I love naps, because I don't sleep very much. So naps, heavenly. Derek recalls a strange feeling in his head, but believed it to be a side effect to sleep deprivation. Then, from the corner of the room, he heard South Park, as if there was a television sitting right beside their bed. Although this isn't a ringing and high-pitched woozing sound joined in the chorus. Oh, sorry. So he heard this TV that was right next to his bed, but there wasn't a TV next to him. Instead, he heard a ringing and high-pitched whooshing sound joined in the chorus. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't lift his arms and head, kind of like sleep paralysis. Then he heard a knock at the window. Behind the glass pane crouched a dark, faceless figure, a second feature of identical stature, entered through the bedroom door and sat at the edge of the bed. The shadow person spoke. "I would be afraid to. This is what nightmares are made from." That sounds like something from a horror movie. The shadow person said, and I will repeat it. He said, "I would be afraid to. This is what nightmares are made from." Derek was confident that it was a dream, but it seemed inescapable. The room faded in and out. Then Derek woke up. It was easily the scariest experience he had ever had with lucid dreaming. Could you imagine these kinds of entities talking to you and saying something that horrific? "Oh yeah, this is what nightmares are made from." That means that they're conscious. That means they know what is going on. Does that make them time travelers? Does that make them aliens? Does that make them a part of this realm and dimension to have that kind of knowledge, how we dream and what kind of nightmares we have? Whew. No, I hate the knocking at the window. It's a very typical, you know, like campfire story. That's always the detail. "He was knocking on my window, but actually it was a tree branch." It's insane. It's insane. Jack says, "Loud frequency noises and everything is all distorted. There is just a face on your wall staring quietly. My brother experienced that when he was young." And like I said earlier, when you're younger, it just hits different, because you don't have the information. You don't have the scientific explanations that you do when you're older. When you're a kid, your imagination runs, and it can really hurt your psyche at sometimes. I'm a skeptic. I think you are you. I think they're you. Me? No. My said this, having sleep paralysis. Maybe I missed the comments above, but sleep paralysis is very common when encountering shadow people. But there are also cases of people that have encountered them while completely conscious and completely awake. But that's a lot more rare than those that encounter them either during sleep or drifting into sleep or drifting out of sleep. And this is something really interesting to mention that I want to talk to you guys about. When you are drifting into sleep or out of sleep, you're not working fully from the conscious mind, but instead you're still working from the subconscious mind. Do you think that these shadow people are here all the time and we just can't see them? Like in the same fact how we can only see certain spectrums of light? Do you think that they're always there, but only maybe when our brain isn't fully at its full working capacity can we see them? What do you guys think on that? Or do you think it's absolute hogwash, like total BS? Pete says, I mean, when one sees them through the creation of the mind, and in some cases they are. In some cases, our imagination runs wild. Our imagination places all these little scary things in our brain. I mean, I remember being terrified of the dark when I was younger. Because I had all these things hanging on my walls. You know, I had clothes sitting on the couch or whatever. And at night, they look like people. They look like something that's about to eat me or something as a child. That's kind of your mentality. So in some cases, it can be pretty freaky. Rather Be Squidding says, Christina's background is all black so that we don't see the shadow people standing behind her, forcing her to tell us that they are not completely evil. Well, I can tell you straight away, everything that I am telling you guys is just speculation. I don't have a shadow man telling me what to say or telling me where he lives or why he does the things that he does. I don't know, but there are a lot of blogs, there are a lot of stories, accounts around the world that have these situations, but all this information really just leads to more questions, so many more questions. I feel like that's the case for a lot of us. Luckily, it's not dark in my room. you guys are funny. Thanks for the clarification, Christina. Anytime, Rather. I got you. I want to tell you another account, but let me go ahead and find it. So, witness Jonathan's earliest memory involves a shadow person. He was 2 or 3 years old at the time and recalls walking to see a dark shadow on the wall beside his crib. A shadow with bright white eyes. It started moving toward him. He moved to the side of the crib, but then another shadow person was approaching from the side as well. Neither creature had any form that could easily be discerned. They were just pitch black against an already shadowed wall. With nowhere to go, he crouched in the center of the crib. Their parents recall Jonathan telling them the shadows were trying to get him. Like I said earlier, these creatures, these beings have no discrimination on age, guys. It's scary to know that little kids, babies, can also encounter these creatures. Now, what we do know about babies and very, very small children is that they are able to see things that adults don't. In a lot of cases, we say, oh, it's just their imagination. Oh, it's just their imaginary friends. But a lot of the times, these kids, because their brain works slightly different than adults, they're able to see things in the spectrum that we can't. That's why you hear a lot of stories of kids talking to their ancestors, their elders, or talking to people in the forest. Parents brush it off as saying, oh, no, just their imaginary friends. But is it? George says she needs to do audiobooks with that voice. Well, let me tell you, probably not. Because I'll be the type and I'll be reading, and if I find it really funny, I'll start laughing and then I'll have to start over. I'll have to start recording all over. I can't. More ice cream juice. I'm actually drinking water. Just water today, but strawberry milkshakes are delicious from Chick-fil-A, guys. That's the best milkshakes I've ever had in my life. But if you have a preference, I want to know, and I will definitely 100% try it. So here's another one. So in sixth grade, so say witness, Robert attended a barbecue at a local park. So in the sixth grade, you're already pretty cognitively smart. You're between 13, now you're like what? I think 13 years old in the sixth grade. No, maybe like 10. How old are you in the sixth grade? Anyways, by this time, you've taken a sufficient amount of science classes, history classes. You interact with a lot of adults, a lot of teachers. So, this is going to be a pretty interesting story. So, this boy, Robert, is in the sixth grade and attended a barbecue at the local park. After a day of playing with his classmates, it was time to head home. The older kids were tasked with collecting the younger kids and getting them ready to leave. The park wasn't that big, so finding all the kids proved easy. But then things took a turn towards the paranormal. About halfway across the park, they saw a dark figure of what appeared to be a toddling small child. Thinking it was one of the kids they were looking for, Robert and his friends ran after the shadow, yelling at it to stop. When the figure reached the edge of the park, it turned white, dropped to all fours, ran up the tree like a cat, and leapt over the wall. Robert and his friends ran away terrified, unsure of exactly what they saw. Now, these are characteristics that I have not read amongst other shadow people. One, it was a child figure. Two, it turned white. And three, it went on all fours and started running. Sounds to me kind of like a shapeshifter or something, because it's not incredibly common for humanoid figures to run on all fours. It's not common. So Ice Hawk answered my question, and you are 11 in the sixth grade. Thank you. And at that time, you're pretty smart. You're like in that kind of almost rebellious age where you're too old for little kid stuff, but too young to do like pretty cool stuff. So you just kind of get agitated all the time, but they're pretty smart. Ben says, holy water? 100%. 100%. There are in experiences with people that do encounter shadow people at night during sleep paralysis, that, and again, this is just what other witnesses say, that for those that chant the name of Jesus or whatever other religion that you may be, you know, Shiva or Allah, doesn't matter which one, these shadow people will leave. Why is that? Don't know. See, there's so many questions, like so much information just leads to so many questions. Why do these shadow people leave when one might have holy water, when one might say a sacred name? Why? And how come it doesn't work on all creatures? How come just some of them? Too many questions, too many questions. Oh, she doesn't have time to edit the background. People that are just coming by, I'm ordering another background, because people that are a part of that have seen Shifting the Paradigm, you know I love my backgrounds. The last one is a spaceship. I actually have two different ones that I love amazingly, but it wasn't appropriate for this new TV show. Not TV show, but series, Mystery with the History. But I'm telling you, next time you show up, I'm going to have a really sick background, guys. It's going to be really cool. So Brian says, maybe just the energy associated with the prayer. Didn't they do experiments that mass prayer alters the energy of the room? Now, if you can tell me the specific experiments, I will look at it. That's really interesting. Now, when it comes to certain religions, certain cultures, this has been proven to be true. It is believed that these names hold a lot of power and can expel evil. But then that leads me to the question, some people believe that shadow people are just observers, that they're just lurkers, and that have no evil intent. Does it work on them or just the ones that are evil? I don't know. And then Jared says, maybe it's because you're setting constant intention. Maybe our brain is so powerful that with intention, we're able to do so much that we don't really apply ourselves to. And I want to go into that in another show, using intention, using these kinds of brain capacities to get what you want. But we'll go into that another day, because then this cast will be forever. Jack says, it's consciousness that's reality works like a lucid dream observer, and so do they in a inverted way. I don't know. Hi, Tim. Good to see you. Let's go over one more story. But again, guys, please place your encounters with shadow people in the comments so that I can read them out loud for everyone to hear. And for those that are not a part of this live, but that will watch it on replay, can also listen to these stories. But if no one else has any other stories, then I'm going to go ahead and read this one. Also, don't forget to also add in your comments or your opinions on this, and keep an eye out for more Mysteries with the History that will be coming out kind of unannounced. Just slightly, maybe like a few hours, maybe a day ahead, but it's going to be pretty spontaneous. So if you like this kind of content, if you like what you're seeing today, then do not forget to subscribe, to hit the bell to get all notifications so that you don't miss any of these mysterious topics. Oh, Brian says, maybe prayer intention taps into the quantum non-localized field that they can be affected by. I really like that you mentioned that, and that's a really interesting question kind of statement. Do I believe that? It's so possible. You know, frequencies, vibrations hit things that our brains can't really comprehend, but it has been tested for centuries, doing chants, doing prayer, have expelled many different things and that have been written in holy scriptures. So just because we might not have the technology to test it now, we can just look back and see how things have worked in the past and trying to incorporate it into our present. Do you have any ideas for future topics? Does anyone want to suggest some? All of you guys are able to suggest topics that you want me to cover. I will do some good research. We'll talk about it. We'll read your experiences as well. So if any of you guys want to touch on something, message me. Message me on Twitter. Message me on Instagram. Probably not Facebook, but maybe in the Facebook group. That's a good one. Or you can email me as well. But all the links to where you can contact me are in the description box below. So if anything comes to mind, just talk to me about it. Remote viewing, that's a really cool one. And you know what? We will. I'm not sure when, but remote viewing is a very, very, very interesting topic that it's believed that anyone can do. Anyone can be a remote viewer. Can we really say that other great apes have seen or experienced? Oh, what other great apes? Like Bigfoot? Or what do you mean, Michael? Oh, you remote viewed? Oh, that's so cool. Okay, well, when the topic does come up, I hope you're here and you can tell your story and what you witnessed. So let me go ahead and tell you the last story or witness account. So witness Paul John has encountered shadow people more than once. And this is a common feature. A lot of people that encounter a shadow person once will encounter them again in their lifetime. Now, do we believe it's the same being following them, or is it a different one? Are they just observing, or are they really trying to take your life force on prevalent times of your life when you are creating maybe more than what you need? That's a big reason to why these shadow people are around children. It's because their vitality, their life force, is a lot more than adults or people that are past their 40s or 50s. So let's read this story. So, witness John Paul has encountered shadow people more than once. Often, he hears them breathing, or he feels the shadow hovering over him while he's asleep. He's heard whispers saying, "Don't move," in the middle of the night. Wisely, John Paul never did, but on one night, this changed. Instead of lying still, he rolled over and came face to face with the shadow person. If the two had been any closer, their foreheads would have been touching. He opened his mouth to scream, but there were hands around his throat choking him. He started to thrash around, punching and kicking at the shadow person until suddenly the shadow person vanished. What do you guys think about that? This kind of shadow ghost, right? Shadow smoke is able to inflict physical pain. There are accounts of people that encounter these shadow creatures that they do have physical evidence on their body of scratches or bruises on their bodies. So then it goes back to the question, are they ghosts? Can't be, right? Well, maybe because they're able to manifest themselves, but how are they able to manifest hands and pressure, but unable to manifest a full body, facial features, maybe a cute outfit? How can you have one without the other? Telling you guys, just more questions on more questions. There's never enough questions. There's never enough answers either. Jack says, "What will the mob man?" Has anyone ever seen the mob men? I've never heard of the mob men before. I've never heard of them. Oops. Glowing eyes might be our witnessing their points of awareness. That's an interesting statement. So then, would you say that if you didn't see them, would their eyes still glow? Ice Hawk says, "My younger bro saw something like a shadow person looking at him in his bedroom once a night. He said it looked like the banshee tree with yellow eyes from Disney's Headless Horseman animated short." That's scary. That's scary. Guys, I want to do more shows, more days of the week. So please help me out by becoming a Patreon supporter where you can get access to the Discord chat server, show extras, behind the scene videos and pictures, and a bunch of perks and benefits such as the graphics that I make for my channel, for Michael Mataluni's channel. I can make these for you. So see the Patreon link in the Beacon page below. So that is it for now. Thank you so much for being here with me for the first episode. And please, please, please share this video with others. Like it. Subscribe if you haven't already. And a big shout out to all my current Patreon subscribers for their support. And I will see all of you guys incredibly soon, sooner than you think.